Thinking today about meeting Jesus. In fact, not just today, but last week we were thinking about meeting Jesus as well. Last week we followed the story of a man by the name of Nicodemus. A religious man, probably a wealthy man, a man with status, a significant man. And yet a man, although many stories have been told down the ages, or many interpretations have been made down the ages of negative interpretations about Nicodemus, what I proposed last week was that here was a man seeking after the truth, seeking after life, and he continued his spiritual journey. He met Jesus, and he was challenged by Jesus, "You must be born again. You must be born again." We're not sure in John 3, where we read that passage about Nicodemus, we're not sure about Nicodemus at that point, whether he responded positively or negatively. You have to read on in the gospel. And then in John 7, and then I think in John 19, we have references again to Nicodemus, a man who, having met Jesus, was able to continue his spiritual journey. And he defends Jesus. In John 7 and then John 19, he's there burying Jesus with Joseph of Arimathea. Today, we're going to meet a woman who, as far as we're concerned, has no name. And I kind of think that's a bit of a shame. And I have thought, I wonder what we should call this Samaritan woman. I really don't know what we should call this Samaritan woman. So she's going to be the Samaritan woman. And it's not very good, but that's how she's presented to us. No name, nothing particularly personal about her. Just she was the Samaritan woman. So we're thinking about meeting Jesus. But I've got something else within what I say today that I want to say. And this, I'm going to put up the challenge that I'm going to deliver at the end. You follow that? Okay. I'm going to put it up now. Okay, meeting Jesus. We heard last week about Nicodemus. We're going to meet a Samaritan woman this week. And what I say about this Samaritan woman may apply to you. Male or female, it may apply to you. But it may be also that we need to be thinking about your friends. And your friends meeting Jesus. It may be that today what I say about the Samaritan woman applies, yes, to you, but it may apply to your friends. And the question for you and for me is, are your friends meeting Jesus? Are your friends meeting Jesus? There is a sense in which, you know, we live where we live, wherever it is you live, either in Evesham or in one of the villages. And we can say, well, I live there because that's where I chose to live. You know, I chose the house. It was suitable for me, for my family, or whatever it was that came into that decision. It might be that we work wherever we work. Why? Because when we were at school, we made certain choices. And we did certain subjects, and we ended up in a particular career, and therefore we're working alongside certain people. I want to suggest to you today that you are living where you're living, and you are working where you're working in order that you might share Jesus with your neighbours and your friends. That God has put you precisely where you are, at school or at work or at home, precisely so that you could be the mouthpiece that God uses to tell others about Jesus. In this passage that Jackie read for us, Jesus said, "Look, the fields are white, the harvest." That's your friends. That's my friends. Who's going to tell them? if not you and I? So that's the challenge. Okay. I'm going to say a lot of other stuff, but that's the challenge that we'll get to at the end. And that, to me, that is the significant thing. It's very easy to speak about meeting Jesus. Isn't that wonderful and great? And it may be that today you need to meet Jesus. You need to make your response to him. But in a sense, more than that, you need to take that to your friends and to your neighbours. Today, we begin with the story, in a sense, of a well. We're told that Jesus travels and comes across this well, Jacob's well, we learn it is, near a town in Samaria called Sychar. And it's at this particular well that Jesus sits down. Obviously thirsty, his disciples go into the town to find something to eat, and the Samaritan woman comes to the well. And in a way, the story could end there. But of course, it would not end there, because this Samaritan woman has not just come to the well. She has come and met Jesus. And this is where we have an extraordinary occurrence. And of course, you could argue back and say, well, hang on, this is hardly extraordinary. This woman comes to the well at this time every day. This is the ordinary. This happens every day. This is completely normal. And yet, because Jesus was there, it becomes extraordinary. And for you and I, wherever we live, wherever we work, whoever we spend time with, it's just the ordinary. But if we seek to be Jesus, to speak the words of Jesus, to listen like Jesus listens, then people's everyday ordinariness can be made extraordinary. What we learned very quickly about this Samaritan woman was that she was a woman with questions. You notice, as we go through this passage, this woman is just throwing out question after question. Jesus responds. The woman's got another question. That seemingly disjointed conversation, questions that are thrown out. And what we discover is that these are deep questions for this woman. They're not trivial questions, but they go to the heart of who this woman is. And I would suggest that for you and for I and for all of our friends, there are deep questions that we hold within our lives. Deep questions that in fact make us who we are. And I wonder sometimes whether it's not the answers that make us who we are. It's the questions. It's the searching. It's the desiring, if only I could know. And what we discover with this woman is that she has deep questions within her soul. And we can identify, I think, three key questions that she has. The first of these questions we could put down as, who am I? Who am I? We can ask that of ourselves. Our friends are probably asking that in a deep way. Who am I? A second question, it's the same as the first, from a slightly different place. Again, who am I? And the third question, I suggest, is, who are you? Spoken to Jesus, who are you? Three questions, who am I? And then from a slightly different angle, who am I? And then, who are you? The first question is, who am I? Where have I come from? This is the stuff that I can't change about myself. This is just who I am. In a sense, this is who my parents made me. These are the traditions I have grown up with, and I can't do anything about. They're so deeply embedded within me. Where have I come from? The second, who am I, is who have I become? Yes, where have I come from? That's who my parents made me. That's what tradition has made me. Who have I become? That's my response to life. The things I have done, The choices I've made, the relationships I've had or haven't had, have made me, it sounds like for this woman, have made this woman who she is. Who have I become? And the third question remains, who are you? Okay, and I'll quickly just go through, who am I? And the question is this, where have I come from? Where I come from? If you've got your Bibles open at John 4, verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." And this was the first part of this deep question, who am I? I didn't ask to be a Samaritan. This is just who I am. And a deep question that is there within this woman's soul. I'm a Samaritan. You see the history, I think I've probably explained it before. The history is simply this, that the Israelites, the Jews, many years, hundreds of years beforehand, had been carted off into exile by Assyria to Babylon. When they returned, many years later, when they returned, there were people living in the land. People who worshipped God, people who knew God. And they looked in many ways like the Jews, but they were different to the Jews. And these people were the Samaritans. And so there was this conflict. The Jews saying, "No, we are the true people of God. And who are you?" The Samaritans saying, "No, we're the true people of God. We're the people who've lived in the land all the time. You've been gone. The traditions are ours." So there was this constant conflict. If only I wasn't a Samaritan. If only I could have been born a Jew. But there's nothing I can do about it. It is who I am. A deep, profound question for this woman. I can't do anything about this. But I wish I could. But it causes turmoil within my own heart. And then the second part of this question, who am I, is I worship God in this particular way. Verse 19. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. You Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." When the Jews came back from exile in Babylon, the Samaritans said, the people living in the land said, "Oh, well, we worship God here on Mount Gerizim." And the Jews go, no, you've got all that wrong. But that's our tradition. That's what has been passed down. Our fathers have passed this tradition down. Surely it can't be that wrong. But there's this clash again. This is who I am. I can't do anything about it. It's a deep question that is within many people's hearts. This is who I am. And I can't do anything about it. Do you ever wish you were born somewhere else? Do you ever wish you were gifted in a different way? Do you ever wish your parents had done different things with you? But this is just who I am. A deep question from this Samaritan woman. So, who am I? Where have I come from? You know, it's all in the past. But then the second question that we discover that this woman is asking, before I go there, Jesus speaks about streams of living water. He says to the woman, "Give me a drink." Well, how? You know, you're not going to get a drink for yourself. You're asking me, says the woman, "Give you a drink." And Jesus says, "No, if you ask me, then I could give you living water." Living water. And that's what we need. That's what our friends need, is living water. Living water. How do we communicate that? Through our lives, through our love, through our kindness, our compassion. And through our words, we communicate that people can receive for themselves this living water. Second question, who am I? Who have I become? Who have I become? So this is not something how we all do it. We blame our parents, you know. It was my parents' fault, you know. That's the stuff I can't change. But then there's a point at which we have to say, well, these are the decisions I've made. These are the relationships I've had. These are the choices that I have got right or wrong. Who have I become? The first is this: I live with shame. Deep question with his woman. And I put up here, do you like my midday sun? There it is, the midday sun. What are we told? Well, it was about the sixth hour at the end of, well, verse 6 says this: Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. They started their day at 6 o'clock in the morning. The sixth hour was midday. When was the hottest part of the day? Midday. When did nobody go to the well to draw water? Midday. They all did it first thing in the morning, before the sun came up, or just as it was coming up. They weren't daft. They would be at home in shelter and shade. But here we have this woman coming to the well at midday. And what we discover about this woman is that she's living with a deep sense of shame. She doesn't go and get water with everybody else. She doesn't feel she fits in with everybody else. She has separated herself, and no doubt she has been ostracized by everybody else. And so she comes with a deep sense of shame at midday, because nobody else will be there at midday. And what we discover in the conversation is that, why is this woman full of shame? Well, it's because my relationships are all messed up. My relationships are all messed up. What we discover is there's not one broken marriage, but 5 broken marriages. And yet, however quickly we turn on people who've had broken marriages and point the finger at them, here we have a woman who had no choice about her marriages, whether they happened or whether they broke up. Here was a woman who had in fact been rejected by 5 husbands. She'd given herself 5 times to men who had turned around at some point and said, I don't want you anymore. And that's what men could do. The woman, of course, just had to stay. And so the woman had been rescued by another husband and then let down. Rescued by another husband and then let down. Rescued by another husband and then let down. Eventually, she gets to the point of, blow this, I'm not going to marry you. Now, quite how that was working out within that culture, I don't know. But here we have a woman who, asking that deep question, who am I? Not just, where have I come from? I'm a Samaritan. This is how I worship. These are my traditions. But who am I? These are the choices I've made. This is who I've become. I've made myself this person. And I'm full of shame. That's why I'm here now, not some other time. Because my relationships are all messed up and I don't know what to do about them. I've been rejected over and over and over again. And it might be that today, that's a deep question for us. Of, we live with shame and we live with messed up relationships. And we just need God. We need to meet Jesus to receive living water from him. But it may be that we need to stop, stand back and go, okay, I'll receive, but I need to share Jesus with my friends. I need to pray for my friends, for their inner questions. And I need to have a good ear to hear their question and to be there for them. So we have, who am I? have I come from? Who am I? Who have I become? And the third question was, who are you? Okay, see, it's not very difficult. So the third question is, who are you? The first time the woman asks Jesus, effectively, who are you? John 4, verse 10. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that asked you for a drink, you'd have asked him. He would have given you living water. Verse 11, so the woman said, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds? The woman is saying, who are you? Who do you think you are? Are you claiming to be as great, greater than our father Jacob? Who are you? And then later on, in verse 25, the woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. I find it interesting that this messed up, shame-filled woman, still burned with deep spiritual questions. And just because our friends are messed up or are comfortable or whatever they are, doesn't mean they don't still burn with deep spiritual questions. Are you the Messiah? Is it you? And Jesus' response is very simple. The woman saying, me and someone greater than me and God, that's my question. Jesus' answer is very simple. I've put it down as I am. Verse 26, then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Now what he literally says, the woman's asking about God. And Jesus literally says, I am, speaks to you. Now, why is that interesting? Why is that amazing? Do you remember the story of Moses? Story of Moses, the burning bush. And God says to Moses, out of the burning bush, go to Pharaoh, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. But first go to the leaders of your people and tell them this is what God is going to do. Moses said, well, I can't do that. Tell me, what is your name? At least so I can pass on your name and then they'll know who's been speaking to me. And God says, I am who I am. I am. And right here, Jesus says to this woman, I am. He uses the name of God. And for us or for our friends, on our journeys or their journeys, there is that searching, that deep sense of, if only I could find answers to these deep questions. How is it that I am who I am? Where I came from? Who I've made myself? And how do I relate to the one I know is there, who's bigger and greater than I am? If only I could meet Jesus. If only I could receive living water from him. And that's precisely what our friends are yearning for, that somebody would listen to them, listen to their deep questions, and then lead them gently to Jesus. Because this woman goes away. And she runs back to the town. It's a wonderful scene. How she runs back to the town and goes, he's the one. He's the one. He's the one. And it's just so great how that's what she does. You know, here's this woman full of shame. And yet something's happened in her that she can go, you know, I might have messed up. I might have got it all wrong. I might have blown it, nobody talks to me anymore, but guess this, he's the one. And I want to suggest to all of us, that our friends are just waiting. And maybe they don't even realize it because these are deep questions. They're just waiting for somebody to say, he's the one. He's the one who will give you life-giving water. And so this is the slide I had right at the beginning. Nobody's had a coughing fit. Nobody's fainted and been carried out or anything. Okay, here's my challenge. My challenge is this. It may be that all of this applies directly to you. And you need to say to Jesus, look, here I am. I need to be filled with streams of living water. But what I want every one of us to do is this. I want every one of us to write down the name of at least one person who is not a believer, who does not follow Jesus. I want you to write that down. Now, I did think today I could have given out a piece of card and pens and all that kind of stuff. No, you don't have to be spoon-fed. You can do it. So I want you to write down somebody's name. And you've probably already thought of who you could write down. Write down somebody's name. And then what I want you to do, want each one of us to do, is to start praying for that person. Give thanks for them. Say to God that you're appreciative of that person. And pray quite directly that God would be moving in that person's heart and soul, creating and unveiling their hunger for God. And pray also for yourself that you would be alert for opportunity to listen to that friend, to share yourself with that friend, and ultimately to lead that friend to Jesus. So very simple, there's three things, I suppose. Write their name down. Pray for them. And pray for yourself. Okay? So that's the challenge. Are you up for it? I don't know. What was it that Jesus said? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Open your eyes, look at the fields, they are ripe for harvest. Your friends may be closer than you realize. Let's make that commitment today. It may be that we have to respond first, but then write down somebody's name, pray for them, and pray for yourself. Let's pray together now. Just in the silence, it might be that you need to hold yourself before God. Just imagine yourself just being before God. Because you're the one who needs to receive. Or it may be that you need to hold your friend before God. Just imagine them right now. Think of them. Hold them before God. Might be a relative, somebody who's literally a neighbour, somebody you work with, somebody you meet regularly. Father, we pray for those that we're thinking about right now, our friends, our neighbours, those that we come in contact with, that person whose name we're going to write down, that we're going to keep in front of us and pray for. Father, we pray for them right now. Father, we pray your blessing upon each one of them. We pray that you would bring good things into their lives, that you would open up their heart to your love, to your kindness, to your mercy, to your grace, to your forgiveness. Father, we thank you for them. Father, we pray more than anything that you would open up their heart and their soul to be ready to receive life-giving water, the Holy Spirit, that they might be ready to give their life to Jesus. Father, we pray for ourselves that you would cause us to be alert and ready to listen, to share of ourselves, and when the time is right, to speak about Jesus. Gracious Father, help each one of us in this, for we pray in the name of Jesus, who is our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.